Come around the Word of God today, very important to, as we're going to hear more about the preaching of God's Word and the importance of it, let's open in prayer. Father, we thank you and praise you. We thank you for the blessing that you give us as we hear your Word and hear with expectancy and with faith. I pray every one of us would be people that would hear with that expectancy and faith in the name of Jesus. Speak to us, we pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen. We're looking at continuation of the sermon series, The Value of the Blood of Christ. We're looking at part two today. And what we understood from the last part that we looked at was that sin, every person has sinned. There's no one who has not sinned except, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And because of that, all are under sin. The Bible says that all have been concluded to be under sin. And there we learnt that there was a penalty. There was a debt incurred because of sin. A judgment has come upon that. It's called the sin debt. The wages of sin is death. But let's have a look at Colossians 1. 12 to 14. What we understand is that God didn't just leave mankind in sin and unable to do anything about it. God didn't leave mankind on the road to hell and say, well, that's it. You violated my law and I want nothing more to do with you. No, God reached out to man. God reached out to man. And that's very, very important for us to understand that it was through God's love that he reached out and paid the sin debt, praise the Lord, paid the sin debt for us. We couldn't earn our way to heaven, and there's no way any one of us could do anything that would pay that sin debt off. But it was through what the Lord Jesus Christ did, and the Bible says that God purchased the church with his own blood. That was the price. The purchase of the church with his own blood. If you have a look at Colossians 1, verses 12 to 14. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us, notice that word delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption, through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So redemption is a word we should know about. Redemption talks about a payment has been made. We see that redemption has been through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. That tells us that the sin problem has been paid for and dealt with by the fact that we've got redemption through Christ's blood. Forgiveness of sins. Why do we need forgiveness of sins? Well, we need it because if we don't have forgiveness of sins with God, then those sins remain and the penalty, the judgment on the sin remains in your life as well. But what we have seen from this is that we have redemption. Now that we've been born again, now that we've been delivered from the power of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son, the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, we now have that redemption which has been paid for through the blood of Christ or by the blood of Christ. And that redemption gives us forgiveness of sin, praise the Lord. Forgiveness of sin. We need a forgiveness of sin. Let's look at Romans 6 verse 23. When we think about redemption, we think of cancellation of the sin debt, i.e. forgiveness of sins, and that required the payment of the debt of sin. And we have to understand what that debt of sin was, what that the Bible calls the wages of sin. So there is something that is owed because of sin. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Romans 6, 23. It says, for the wages of sin is death, But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Notice that there is a wages or there's a debt connected with sin, and it's death. Now, death is not extinction. Some cults will teach you that death is extinction. Death is not extinction. Death is separation. The Bible talks about without the spirit of man in the body, then the body is dead. So when you die physically, your spirit man, your inner man, separates from your body. The Bible also talks about the second death, which is separation from God. Okay? And so death is separation. Death is not extinction. It's separation. So physical death, your inner man separates from your outer man, and your outer man no longer is living. And second death is when people are separated forever, and that's called eternal judgment. So there's a price that had to be paid to cancel the debt of sin. Now, if you think about it, the Bible talks about the life of the flesh is the blood. I think it talks about that in the book of Leviticus, and that's the physical flesh. So we need to think, well, what's the life of the body of Christ? It would have to be the blood of Christ, isn't it? So the life of the body of Christ is the blood of Christ. Spiritually, we see where that life has come from, which cancels the wages of sin as death. So when we think about the blood, we're thinking about life. We're thinking about strength in the body of Christ as well. We're thinking about redemption, so that sin is no longer held against the sinner, but it's been paid for. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20. I know I'm going through some scriptures that I went through last time, but I want us to be very clear on the value of the blood of Christ. God paid a price for you and me, and that price was the blood of Christ. And 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20, notice what it says, "For ye are bought with a price." Ye are bought with a price. "Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Notice it's G-O-D apostrophe S, which means that God owns you. You are bought with a price. He owns you. Therefore, he wants you to your life to glorify him. Glorify God in your body by doing the right thing in your body and in your spirit. In your spirit is things like believing and praying, and out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth confesseth. The Bible tells it, or the mouth speaketh. So we know that out of the abundance of the heart talks about what's in the heart. So we glorify God by putting the right things into our spirit, into our heart. We glorify God in our body by doing the right things with our bodies, whether it be speaking what God wants us to speak, or using our hands, our feet, walking, doing, going places to where God wants us to go, etc. There's many things we could go into about that. The key thing with this verse is, for ye are bought with a price. You're bought with a price. You're not your own anymore. You're bought with a price. We won't turn to it, but Acts 20, 28 says that God purchased the church with his own blood. With his own blood. It's been purchased. We've been bought. So how should we look at our relationship to God? Lord, you are the master. You are my master. You are my saviour. And I thank you that you have saved me from sin and the penalty of sin, because the wages of sin is death. You've saved me from that, and you brought me into the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God. You brought me into the kingdom of God. You've taken me out of darkness. That sin debt has been paid, praise the Lord. And the Bible calls the blood of Christ precious. Think about that word precious. If something is precious, it means it's got high value. In fact, the Bible calls Jesus precious as well. Let's have a look a bit more about the purchase of our salvation. Look at Matthew 16, verse 26. Matthew 16, 26. I was thinking about this verse and just how relevant it is to the fact that we've been bought with a price. Matthew 6, verse 20, 16, verse 26 says, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Now that tells us that there is something that can be given in exchange for a person's soul. We know what that price was. It was the blood of Christ. But it also shows us in verse 26, the first part, if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul, telling us that people can gain the whole world, but still their soul can be lost. So the price that's paid for a person's soul, for their salvation, is not what the world has. It must be what God has. And we've seen God purchase the church with his own blood, and ye are bought with a price. So God paid the price. The world, and many people in the world, think, well, I can earn my way to heaven, or I've been a good person all my life. But no, we saw that it's the gift of God is eternal life. That's living forever with God, not separated from God. See the difference? The wages of sin is death. So what's the opposite of that? Well, the blood of Christ, I mentioned before, gives life to the body of Christ. That's eternal life. Can you see what I mean? Eternal life, living forever with God in his kingdom. That's what eternal life is all about. So a person can gain the whole world but still lose their own soul. Let's look a bit more in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 to 20. It's not by natural things that we're redeemed. It's not by the things of the world. It's not by riches or material things of the world that we are redeemed or bought back from sin, because we've been bought with a price. But it's with the precious blood of Christ. 1 Peter 1, verses 18 to 20. Verses 18 to 20. Verse 18 tells us, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed or paid for or bought back with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers." So it's not, we've not been redeemed by corruptible things. As far as the Lord is concerned, things like silver and gold and anything the world has is corruptible. Jesus predicted the end of the world, so anything in the world has an end. So it's not by corruptible things that we're redeemed. And it's not by things that we do that we're redeemed either. Notice what it's by in verse 19. "But with the precious," that word precious is very, very important, "but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." So it's the precious blood of Christ telling us that it is of high value, higher value than anything that's in the corruptible sphere. Why? Because the blood of Christ is incorruptible. The blood of Christ is the final payment. We're going to learn today that in the Old Testament, they would sacrifice animals and use the blood as a temporary payment. But see, that wasn't the blood that could eternally pay for your sins. But it was what the Bible calls an atonement for sins for each year, as the high priest came in and offered for the sins of the people, the blood of animals. But see, that was pointing to the fact that there would be a final sacrifice, the sacrifice of the Lamb of God, as we know John the Baptist said, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the sin of the world, taketh away. In other words, it's a finality rather than just covering it up or temporarily offering some sort of payment. It's a final, forever, taking away payment of sin. And there are many repercussions that come out of the sacrifice of Christ, so the payment of the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, as it says there. So we've been not redeemed with corruptible things, but we've been redeemed with the incorruptible, the precious blood of Christ. We must remember that and understand it. John 14 verse 6 shows something very interesting. Let's have a look at this. John 14 verse 6. You know, some people think that all religions lead to God, but that's not true. And Jesus made it very clear that it's not true. Because if you think about it, there's only one religion, the true religion, the Christian religion, which has within it the payment for sin, the redemption that's necessary. And Jesus pointed that out in verse 6 of John 14. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So what's the way to the Father? The Lord Jesus Christ. What's the truth of the matter? The Lord Jesus Christ. What's the life, which we know to be eternal life? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's the precious blood of Christ, which was the payment. See, Jesus gave his life for us, didn't he? And then he was raised from the dead and presented to God the Father. And God the Father said, it is enough. It is acceptable. It is what was necessary. And has paid the price for man's sin. Praise the Lord. So Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And there's other scriptures which talk about the exclusive nature of Christ. See, we cannot put anyone in place of Christ. Christ must be on the throne of our life. He must be the saviour from sin. And those that ignore him or don't count his blood as precious, they're in a lost condition. They don't understand that there is a price that had to be paid. Had to be paid. And then the gift, even though the gift is presented to people, they have to receive that gift. They have to receive the gift of eternal life. Praise the Lord. Also look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Lest anyone should, and certainly not anyone here, but lest anyone think that they can earn their salvation, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 tells us that that's not the case, that no one can earn salvation. Verse 8 of Ephesians 2 says, for by grace, now grace is God's favour and blessing towards us, okay? For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So salvation is through faith, receiving Christ, receiving that gift. And it's the gift of God. A gift is not earned. A gift is given. A gift is not earned. And that's what it says there, verse 9, not of works, lest any man should boast. And there's many other scriptures which indicate that salvation is not through works. Salvation is through the gift, the sacrifice of Christ, the work of Christ on the cross. Praise the Lord. And we understand that when we are saved, once we're saved, we then go on to do good works. That's what the next verse says. If you look at verse 10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." So although we don't get salvation by works, once we are saved, then we go on to do good works in Christ. Praise the Lord. So understand that the blood of Christ, it pays for your salvation. It has bought you because you've been bought with a price. You have acknowledged that Jesus is the way, the one way to God. There's no other way. You have acknowledged that he's done the work of salvation and that you've received that gift. And you've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. You've received the gift. And you're saved through faith. And you can go forward in that, trusting in what Christ has done. Praise the Lord. And have fellowship with God. Well, let's have a look at 1 John chapter 1. I just want to look at verse 7. Because as believers, we must constantly keep in mind what Christ has done. In fact, when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we consider the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ was sacrificed for mankind, that he had a body that was prepared specifically. He's the only begotten Son. That was a special birth, the virgin birth, and that his blood was prepared specifically as well. Praise the Lord. And if you look at verse 7 of 1 John chapter 1, it says, "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." So there is a cleansing power in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we must walk in the light. And if we do sin, what should we do? Well, we don't run away from God, but we ask for the cleansing, don't we? If you look at verse 9, it says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." There's the word cleanse again. We're cleansed from all unrighteousness by the blood of Christ. We're cleansed from all unrighteousness if we confess our sins and ask for forgiveness and cleansing. The Lord will do it every time. And we are people that should continually have fellowship with God by the fact that we are cleansed continually, walking in that cleansing. Praise the Lord. You see, if we just allow sin to remain uncleansed, unforgiven, it's a barrier. As believers, we must constantly be in a state where we're cleansed and we thank the Lord for the precious blood of Christ. Praise the Lord. Let's have a look at a bit more detail about what happened when Christ was sacrificed. Look at Hebrews 9, verses 12 to 14. Hebrews 9, 12 to 14. Hebrews 9, 12 to 14. Verse 12 says, "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." So how long is our redemption? Eternal. That means past your lifetime physically here, right into eternity, which is never ending. See the value of the blood of Christ? See the power of the blood of Christ? Because it says here, it's not by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place. Where's that holy place he's talking about? Holy place in heaven. Praise the Lord. Having obtained eternal redemption for us. Verse 13 says, "For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling of the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit," well, we learned about the eternal Spirit, God the Holy Ghost, "offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God." What happens? You know, there are people on earth who are racked with guilt. They know they're guilty. Their conscience is constantly saying, "You've done the wrong thing." What can purge that conscience? What can cause it so that the sin is forgiven and you know before God that you can come to God and say, "Lord, my sins are forgiven"? What can do that? Well, it tells us, doesn't it? Verse 14, "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offer himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" See, the solution to a conscience that is racked with guilt, that has guilt, or a conscience that is constantly talking about sin, is that it has to be purged. It has to be cleansed. It has to be changed. And it's changed by the blood of Christ. It's changed by the forgiveness of sins that we read about, the redemption that we have. And think about eternal redemption. The price has been paid. Sin has been dealt with. Now I am eternally in Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. That is something we can be joyful about. Right into eternity. Something we can take and say, "Lord, I thank you for the blood of Christ. I thank you for that precious blood." Also look at Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And go across to verse 22. Well, actually, let's go from 19. Verse 19 to verse 22 of Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 19. "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus." See how the blood of Jesus, it comes up over and over again, connected with us having access to God, having eternal redemption that we read about before. Verse 20, "by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated," or set apart for us, "through the veil," that is to say his flesh. You know, there's another part that talks about that the body of Christ was specifically prepared. Prepared. We know about the virgin birth, where the blood was pure because of that. Praise the Lord. That is to say his flesh. Verse 21, "and having an high priest over the house of God," the house of God is the church, "let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts," or our inner man, "sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." You see, what's an evil conscience? An evil conscience is a conscience that is full. The conscience is the voice of the Spirit. If you look at the people who are in the world who are not born again, their heart is not living to God. It's dead, it's separated from God. It's still operating, but it's operating in dead works that we've looked at before. Well, what needs to be done is there needs to be a purging of the conscience, there needs to be a changing of the inner man, a person to be born again, so then their conscience gets changed. What should our conscience be doing now if it's the voice of the Spirit? Of our born-again spirit. Our conscience should be saying, "Yes, what you're doing is the right thing now. Yes, you're praying and it's in line with the Bible. Yes, you're giving and it's in line with the Bible. Yes, you're fellowshipping and it's in line with the Bible." What is a conscience that of a person who is a sinner? You're doing the wrong thing. This is not right. You're sinning. You're doing this wrong. you're doing this wrong. You shouldn't be doing that. Now, of course, if Christians sin, their conscience will say that too. But Christians should know to ask for forgiveness and get cleansing from all unrighteousness through the blood of Christ. And if Christians are walking in the light, their conscience isn't going to be saying, well, you're doing the wrong thing all the time, is it? Their conscience is going to be saying, you're doing the right thing by walking in the light. You're doing the right thing by obeying the scriptures here. And it'll be constantly affirming what you're doing. There's good things in you that have been placed in you. It'll be constantly saying, you're doing the right thing. You're going the new and living way. Praise the Lord. And that new and living way is, of course, Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Well, let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 to 7. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 to 7. So we see that eternal redemption was paid for, not by the blood of bulls and goats, not by works which we have done, not by corruptible things like gold and silver, not by gaining the whole world. It's only by one thing alone, and that's the blood of Christ. And I pray that you realize this and see how unique your salvation is and how wonderful. You see, if you think about it, it must have been very, very important to God that you be saved, because God was manifest in the flesh. That's what it says. He was manifest in the flesh and he paid the price with his own blood. So it must have been very, very important for God to pay that price, to get man out of sin. Therefore, it's very, very important for people not to reject the gospel, but to believe. And I want us to see just how the value of the blood of Christ, and that's why we're going through this sermon series, and opening it up so that you see, well, it is so very, very precious to me. We've got to see that Jesus is precious. And 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 to 7. 1 Peter 2, 4 to 7. To whom coming as unto a living stone, talking about Jesus, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, an holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices, acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. Well, of course, Jesus is that chief cornerstone. And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Verse 7 says, unto you therefore which believe, he is, what? Precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. Verse 8, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offence, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. People, if we believe, we're not going to be disobedient. We're going to be people that want to do what God wants, because our heart has been changed so that we desire to do what God wants. And as it says there, unto you therefore which believe, he, that's Christ, is precious. And his blood is precious. The value of the blood of Christ cannot be underestimated. It is unique in the entire history of mankind. The event of the death and resurrection of Christ is utterly unique. The price that was paid is unique and is beyond what anything that the world could offer, beyond any works, beyond anything that's corruptible. He entered in to the holy place and it was acceptable. He is our high priest today and it's acceptable to God the Father. That sacrifice, that blood. The blood of Christ is something we should think about, meditate upon, and see that price that was paid is such a wonderful price. And if people neglect that and say, well, Jesus was just a good man, they don't understand. They don't understand because he is precious. He is unique. He is the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you. We know, and we are more and more coming to a realization of just how precious the blood of Christ is. And Lord, we want to be people that acknowledge that continually in our lives and be obedient people to you. Father, help us, we pray. Help us to make the right decisions in life. We've been created under good works. We thank you and praise you for sending the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for that salvation which was paid for by the blood of Christ. Thank you for that. Thank you for our eternal redemption. We thank you for that, Lord. That is wonderful. And we thank you for salvation. We bless you and praise you and thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Father, we ask that you speak to us through the gifts of the Holy Ghost. We know that you're with us and we praise you. Thank you, Lord. The precious gift has been given. The precious gift. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. We commit our way to you today and you bring it to pass. You bring the blessing to pass in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. We're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. We do this every 2 weeks. And like we've learned today, it's not something to be forgotten. In fact, Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper so that we remember his death till he comes and everything that's related to what he accomplished through his death. I pray that we're learning about that precious nature of his death. Thank you, Samantha.